welcome to this week's podcast of the Gen Z Report. Today we are gathered by me, CJ, he, him, alongside.
Jay, he, they.
Staz, they, them.
And?
Sam, how are you? He, him.
And today's episode is going to be going over political activism, what it means, what do? How do we interpret it? As well as briefly going over the Trump indictment, because it's a pretty big deal. Not necessarily related to our normal content, but you can't not cover it. So for those out of the loop, or for those tuning in, Trump has been indicted with several counts by federal charges for his mishandling of documents and also sharing of classified documents with people who did not need to know. The indictment, I believe, is 37 counts, right?
37, yeah.
Yes. Which also has many witness testimonies, as well as audio recordings of Trump going to various different news reporters and saying to them, hey, this is a secret. I cannot be showing you this. I could have declassified this, but I did not declassify this. And then they, and then still proceeding to show the person, hey, this is what it is. So it's a pretty big deal. I feel more confident on this case than any other case that I've seen in the past about it. But personally, it's just still tiring to still see things in the news time after time and time, and there be no drop off in his favorability ratings going forward. I believe it's still stayed at 39% to 40%. And while you have had some members of the GOP have backed off of it a little bit that are in the House and Senate, you've also still had people to double down and say, hey, this is a hoax. So just talking on the pulse check. Hey, everyone, how are we doing with this news? Starting with Sam.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't read a ton about the 37 counts individually and what they are. I know most of them are from some documents being mishandled at Mar-a-Lago and things being found to be improperly stored from the FBI or CIA. It doesn't surprise me that it wouldn't affect his approval ratings. I think the GOP base is, there's, you know, the people that like him, there's very little that could be done to affect his approval ratings among those people. But the amount of other Republicans that are jumping into the race indicates that there is a sizable appetite among some of the Republican base for a different candidate. So I'd be surprised if he's going to just run away with this in the primaries. I think there is going to be somewhat of a challenge, especially if he's at the same time having to fight legal battles. Just the fact that his energy is going to have to be somewhat devoted to that, as well as campaigning, is going to give an advantage to some of the other candidates, at least in the meantime. But I'm surprised at how many other Republicans are jumping in. I really didn't think there was going to be that much of a challenge, but I guess they're spotting enough of these weaknesses with his indictments. The Miami mayor jumping into the race really surprised me. I did not expect that.
Jay?
Yeah, I think to add to your point, I think a lot of the reason why people are jumping in is because they see this vulnerability, and then they also see the vulnerability of DeSantis. Because I think at the start, it was like really just Trump versus DeSantis, and that's what we thought it was going to shake out to be. But people seeing DeSantis kind of fumble the ball in that regard. And then this Trump indictment, all this stuff. I think there's people more willing to jump into the race now in that regard. As far as the counts for him being indicted, I've looked through a lot of them. And I think the most damning stuff is like the conspiracy to like hide the information from not only his own attorneys, but then also from the people trying to get the info, the FBI or the people investigating it. They were hiding the info from them. So I think that's probably the biggest thing here.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I believe that there is a lot of, you know, hope within the GOP about, hey, if he goes to prison, then maybe I have a shot in the primaries. But where I was more so talking with a breaking of the GOP ranks has been on the comments of the people that are in the House, in the Senate, initially saying things more along the lines of, hey, this is still a political hoax. This is all political prosecution, bringing up a false equivalency of a two-tier justice system, which it's like, well, the answer is yes, but not in the way that they're describing, in the way of, oh, well, specifically because it's Trump, you know, that's why it's so bad. But then also some that are saying, well, this is, you know, pretty bad and pretty awful, but oh, I'd still vote for him regardless.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Pence commented that, like, he even can't defend some of this stuff.
Yes.
That's
after initially saying that, oh, well, no, it's not that big of a deal. But once the indictment was shown more, he eventually got to the point of, yeah, it's not defensible.
Yeah, I can't do anything. Yeah.
And Jay, is there any notes on that for also being down in Florida?
Well, I'd probably say when it comes to Trump and DeSantis, I would say, when it comes to Trump, they're just seeing the cracks in his armor or the cracks in his new jumpsuit. But also when it comes to DeSantis, there's a lot more unfavorability that he's been more down in public favoring, even after the whole like 37 counts on Trump, which is wild. And not to mention how fanatic it is when it comes to most of GOP's bases. Even when everybody's just jumping at it like piranhas in the water, when they start to smell blood, of course, for Trump, it seemed to be a lot of like fanatic basing, just still sticking with Trump, and a lot of other people just hopping out of the woodwork to still stand by Trump and also keep him like well alive, not just in his own fan base, but in, like, other different sectors of it. It's just a whole situation.
Sure. And then another thing that I just want to bring up is that after going in and getting fingerprinted, he then went on to give another speech, and there was a little bit of discussion on if it was even like healthy to show, obviously healthy for ratings, even though CNN after their town hall has been really, really struggling. But if it is, you know, worth it to show, or responsible to show things that we know is going to be untrue and have them spin it. Or if it's like, well, you know, we still should hear what he's going to say and these things, if there's any comment on that.
Well, he has these platforms to speak. He, like, there's no way that the media is not going to cover it when he talks. He's a TV guy. You know, they want the ratings in that regard at the very least, right? Because he's fun to watch. You know, I can give him that, right? Yeah. But it is dangerous, the stuff that he says, and a lot of what he said in this last speech is just, it's just another cycle of him spinning it as hard as he can, you know?
Sam, any further comment, or have been a little bit more on the touching grass side, so not as following?
No, I'm reading right now about some of the different GOP responses, but there really isn't too much, that many of the Republicans are saying, although I think that some of the, like, it was saying that some of the leaders in the House committees are pushing back on Trump's statements that he's being hunted down by a deranged prosecutor. So I guess, you know, all of them are saying it to themselves, but they don't, they're the ones who want to he stay in their congressional seats are not going to say anything publicly if they're not running against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last thing as well, I want to say and comment on when it came to Fox News was it was a brief amount of time, but they were saying that, Biden was a wannabe dictator in a speech reel following the indictment as well. And even though it was taken down, it still was a very rough and, I think, polarizing thing. And it's just frustrating to fight all that. So the part of what we then do to push back against that is trying to work within activism and trying to basically go against the counter narratives of, you know, these billion-dollar institutions. And one of the things, just to reiterate for those who are not watching every single one of our podcasts and is an upcoming initiative, is over in the state of Ohio, where in Ohio, there is going to be a special election coming this August. The reason for that date has been so that way there is going to be less turnout and less people voting. So your vote, if you're in Ohio, is particularly valid and needed, because what this ballot initiative will do is it will make it harder for other ballot initiatives to get passed, including the right for abortion access. Basically, what the GOP in Ohio has decided to create is an amendment to their constitution to make it so any other state referendum cases would, one, need to get the approval of every single county and signatures from every single county to even make it onto the ballot instead of only half, and that for it to get added on, it would need to be a 60% vote to be able to add it. So even if you win by 58%, too bad, 42% said no, and you would then fail. Another thing of note specifically when it comes to abortion access on this topic is that abortion access has overwhelmingly been protected in every single state where it has gone to the people to be able to vote. However, in none of the states has it passed with a 60% margin, the highest being 59%. So this is just another thing where it's like, hey, let's make sure that we're aware and trying to spread information on it. But for anyone else, if they had comments on things like that, or again, going a little bit back on the most recent major election back in Wisconsin on talking on those things, Shays, Jay, Sam?
It sounds like when they pass those types of amendments where now you have to get every single county to sign on, or you have to get 60% to vote on a referendum, I think, you know, in their mind, they're thinking, oh, this is going to stop all those abortion rights bills. This is going to stop those progressive pieces of legislation. But I think a lot of conservatives shoot themselves in the foot when they pass bills on the state level like that, because they don't realize that they're also stopping most conservative bills from ever passing, because the big cities and counties are never going to sign on to major restrictions. So if they're trying to pass some sort of amendment that way, you know, it's, you're just stopping everything from happening. You're not just stopping progressive legislation. Now you're stopping conservative legislation too. So,
well, to clarify on that point, it would be for state referendums. So in Florida, for example, we're able to bring things into a ballot initiative. Ohio has a similar process, and these bills tend to be overwhelmingly progressive because they're from the people. The GOP doesn't need to get 60% of the vote to pass something. The GOP doesn't need to do that because they just control the legislation. They just do bills and laws in their own way. So yes, it would stop something that would be conservative, but you would still also be, one, you'd still be going against the will of the people regardless, if, you know, someone's getting 55% of the vote. But two, this, they would just pass the laws as they are doing right now. And to also put it into an August election where they literally had a law in place which made it so August elections were illegal because of the infamously low turnout, and then to not only repeal that law, to then put in a special election in hopes to do the same thing, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's a pretty shady predicament. Yeah, I think the biggest thing about this is the requiring 100% of counties to have some signatures, because it's like in the state of Ohio, like trying to get every county to get a signature in every county, that's going to be a very big roadblock for a lot of these like you said, people forward bill or ballot initiatives that they want to put forth. Yeah, it's just it's definitely something that like people need to turn out to stop this from happening. Yeah. And unfortunately, like you said, it's in August.
So the people are going to vote on whether they have to make that.
Yep.
The process. Oh, well, I mean, are the people going to vote for that? I don't know if they're going to get a majority to vote for. I mean, Ohio, because Ohio is kind of a weird state. I mean, I don't think most states would vote for something like that because citizens are going to read that and say, well, why, you know, why do we want to make it harder to pass legislation? Like, they're not going to think of it in terms of progressive or conservative. I think the average voter is going to read that and say, why are we trying to make it even harder to pass legislation when everybody knows how hard it is to get things passed to begin with? So I'd be surprised if that even makes it.
So another thing that was also on the note of the reasoning for the initial passing banning August elections was that when you have such a low turnout, you have the people that are not interested and ambivalent toward it or unaware of it. And then you have the people that are really, really interested in it. And so if I'm seeing this as my shot to be able to keep abortion access from being able to happen, I might be more aware of what's going on and then more likely to vote on it, even if it goes against the will of the general public. And that's essentially what's trying to do with that legislation. But again, we'll see. But that's also why, again, if you're in Ohio, just be aware. And Shay, is there anything else to add on?
I got to say.
Go ahead.
I gotta say, especially when it comes to most stuff, when it goes down to just Ohio as it is and most legislative ability, I'm gonna have to tell you that a lot of people are going to look at this bill and be in the whole general placements, a lot of boots on the ground, especially if they know that legislation is gonna be in their hands, not just in their community as well. It can just very much help them out and much more so take care of just acknowledging that I really got to be more active in my community. I really got to be more active when it comes to Ohio, but not just Ohio. If some people try to get that into other legislations or other states, they're going to see that, well, they're making it harder to vote. How is this going to help me, especially in more so my newer generation? That's really going to be a kind of thorn in people's sides, especially as it is to get change and better infrastructure.
What I'm curious is, I'm assuming the people for this change are going to be marketing it to their base as like, oh, we're trying to make it like better. Like you need a more of a majority to like pass these out crazy bills that people want to put forth or put on like ballot measures that people want to put forth. So I think like what we're going to be facing is them trying to frame it as like a good thing for democracy when it's clearly not, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what, like it just comes to like if you're someone who understands the implications of this and you know how the legislature works and you know how these ballot initiatives work, yeah, you'd see that and you'd be like, this is dumb. But when you have some people that just consume, you know, like Fox News or these talking heads say, oh, this is actually a good thing, you want this thing, and they frame it in a way that's like, oh, this makes sense, that's where we're going to see people turning out for it. And we just have to be ready to really show what it actually means and talk to people, what it actually does.
I'm sure there are ads already. I mean, I'm not in Ohio, so it's not like I'm seeing the ads, but I'm sure that they're running them on, you know, all the major markets about, they whenever something like this comes up, they run a lot of ads on TV and try to frame it as, oh, you know, this is going to make it easier for them to pass the Killing Babies Act of 2023 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they might, I wouldn't be surprised if people are going to be misled about it.
Yeah.
So and again, it's something where people are not necessarily aware of it. This is something that is happening in less than 2 months. So just,
it's something where a lot of like small orgs could have an outsized impact on stuff like this, you know, because it's in a low turnout time period, like you said, August, you know, the activism that I'm sure we all like to do, this is where we can really shine, is in stuff like this.
So yeah, that is the big thing. And I, on the topic of political activism, I wanted to talk kind of a little bit on, hey, how do we engage with political activism? Because there is the tried and true phone banking, canvassing type of conversations. You have people that go and protest. You have people that, you know, simply go and vote. You have the kind of idea of, oh, well, I can do a protest vote. And there's an evolution on that. Something that I think has been more unique to our generation when it comes to these sort of things is just through the existence of the internet, we are, one, able to come together a lot better, even if there is, you know, more information overload to parse through. But we're also able to see a lot more of how protests are happening in other countries, what makes them effective, what makes them less effective. Another thing that is not necessarily politically related, but still a very big deal, is you had the Reddit protests, where many Discord moderators went and they took their subreddits private in order to protest really, really terrible API changes that would have made it, one, very difficult for the Reddit mods to actually do their jobs and keep the site running, and two, just help destroy the competition of other alternative apps that were available that made Reddit a better place to work. So all this interconnectivity has continued to create more and more opportunities of collaboration. And that's also why you tend to see in places that have less freedoms and less rights, a major censorship on that internet. But that is at least my perspective on it. Do we see, you know, anything else of how political activism has changed now versus before?
I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, the reason we're all speaking right now together is because of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. It really has revolutionized the ability for political action. And who is better at it than the younger generation, who is utilizing the internet in new ways every day, right?
Yeah, especially more so, not to mention, like, when it comes to, like, the young generation now, we're able to, like, just connect to each other. Like, you can happen to, like, go ahead and organize something world and nationwide from people who are, like, all the way from New York to all the way to California, and not to mention, like, all the way through the center of, like, each state. And you can get everybody to, like, go ahead and put boots on the ground and lead on to a whole nationwide feedback that actually creates a beautiful change for a whole nation, especially with the internet. Gives us new tactics, new ways to, like, just keep moving forward and also be able to put this position and actual progressive change into the world.
Any additional thoughts? No, I think it's, like, it's really cool, because the different ways we can now do activism range broadly. Like you said, it's initially just canvassing, phone banking, that kind of stuff, signature gathering, registering people to vote. We can now do those things online and more through, like, social media campaigns to promote certain bills or certain elections, like special elections. Like you talked about the Ohio one, like getting that attention, getting national attention on a small thing in Ohio is a lot easier now, and we can signal boost it through the different channels that we have, and we can engage people on the other side of the country to go help those efforts. And that's just, like, the real beautiful thing that's changed recently.
Much more efficiently too. It's the social media and the internet personalities are able to disseminate messaging so much faster and in a more user-friendly manner than any canvassers ever can. As somebody who's volunteered and worked with a lot of campaigns, I've just become increasingly dubious over time of the effectiveness of traditional canvassing methods as to whether they end up making much of a difference in the end. I feel like so much of it in our hyper media market comes down to just, like, paid time, paid advertising, targeted advertising on social media, on TV, mailers, things like that for sure when it comes to especially like older demographics who still watch a lot of TV and get a lot of mail and read a lot of newspapers and things like that. But with the younger generation, social media and internet influencing, it's I feel like that's just the most efficient route with any of these messages.
True.
I think it's the most efficient. I don't think it's the most effective though. I do think like canvassing and things like that, phone banking, are very effective because you're talking with a person and you're not just scrolling through a video or something like that. But like you said, efficiency wise, it's a lot easier to just throw up a video.
Because it's effective, but you can't reach the mass that way unless you have thousands of people doing it. I mean, because only was one volunteer can only talk to so many people in a day and so many people who will even answer. I mean, I've done phone banking too. How many people even answer the phone? It's like 10%. True. So, you know, if that. So depending on when you're calling, I guess, but most people are never going to be reached by that person. So they need to be reached some other way.
So,
I want to talk a little bit more on that phone banking. Like I personally have had a little bit of a slower, I guess, start on my politics. In 2016, I was in California and also just barely too young to vote. So I was like, if I could vote, I would vote as for Gary Johnson because I'm in California. My vote doesn't matter. In 2018, I was still in California for my registration. So I was like, I was paying attention to, okay, well, here's House things, which are Democrats. I still was paying attention to, oh, here are things that are happening in the state. But I did look into voting, but that's about as much as it did. In 2020, I was following the presidential primaries and trying to vote in that. But by that point, by the time it hit Florida, it then still didn't make a difference of who would won. But then from there, it's like working and being like, okay, well, I can do this, and this, and seeing what are the next steps. Flash forward to 2022. It's like I am super, super knowledgeable on every single thing down to I'm speaking with people in the primaries that are candidates. I am speaking, like I'm meeting with like people that are running for their school boards and trying to really engage with that. And then eventually going to canvassing, and my area of Florida still went very, very hard red, but it was, hey, let me go out and here's, 15 people, here's 20 people. Here's, I think on my like last canvassing run before the midterms, we ended up reaching, it was like 55 different homes. And that was going an inefficient route, like door to door to door. Hey, are you registered to vote? Make sure that you're voting. Or for some people, they had already voted and doing that. So that's been my personal experience so far. I don't know if we want to share the other experiences of what we've done, any particular stories on that.
Sure. If I could say, I remember my start out when it came to like voting and stuff like that. I was very young, more so when I got into a lot of political work, especially like at 17. I remember when it came to Florida and the Don't Say Gay bill, especially not to mention like other bills passed that were anti-LGBTQ legislation as well. I remember I was with a LGBTQ club, a progressive club more so, and we had galvanized our school into protesting for the Don't Say Gay bill, more so even making it onto the news. And not just that beforehand, when it came to not just the Black Lives Matter event, I helped also work with putting a few names on the radar of people who had been mistreated by the police, especially as it is, and more so it started getting me into more of the political standing of making sure I could get into my community. And I thought about, how about if I can't just not just only help my community, but help people in my county, people help my people in my state more so. I got more into phone banking, canvassing, putting boots on the ground as it needed to be, and not just getting into my community, but also helping with mutual aid. Political work was not just helping build up your community, but also build up how you want to see your state, lifting it up for the better, and just being in there from like 2021 and like 2020 as it is, from like 2022, I helped with the midterms, like even phone banking for like all these other different states. was like working for Warnock as well. I got the canvas for Warnock in the campaign like last year, which was crazy as it is. And I helped him win his election, which was fun. Got to even meet him in the picture. But like I say, when it comes to like political work, you can be able to see a lot of good potential, especially with galvanizing not just people of your generation, but also helping people who are the same age as you find that fire to keep moving and keep pushing on to see a better future, not just with them, but for them as well. It's truly a great experience, I'd say, learning about it.
I agree. I think one thing canvassing, in my experience, is really, really helpful for when you can reach people in canvassing or flyering or whatever, something where you're sort of talking to like a random segment of the population.
Yeah.
One of those, I think the best thing that that's really effective for is gauging how the sentiment is on either your candidate or your issue, because when you're sort of forced to talk to people that A, you don't know, so they have no bias for or against you, but B, it's sort of a random segment of a subsection where you're getting like a bunch of different people. That's a really good method of, it may not be the best method of spreading the message, but it's a really good method for the campaigns who internally sort of assess how they're doing. Because if you knock on people's doors and they don't even know who your candidate is, that's not a good sign. If they do, that is a good sign. But if they do and you're getting a lot of positive feedback, that's an even better sign. And if you do that in more than one area, to make sure that you're not just in one area that might be like overwhelmingly pro your thing. Because, you know, you can be in a neighborhood where everybody's like super progressive or super young, or you could be, you know, there's things that can bias that. But if you do it across a few different areas and you're getting like a generally consistent message, that's how you know you're kind of on track. I remember that with the campaign that I worked for that did win barely by like a point. And I just remember, but it was a candidate who was in the lead, like 25 points in the primary. And then the big money came in at the last minute and it started spending a lot on media, on paid media. And suddenly the tone was shifting. We'd talk to voters who'd say, well, I heard this on this commercial. And what does this mean? And we, you know, a lot of messaging about foreign policy, about Israel, about stuff. And people started getting scared. And then, and so it was fascinating to see how much the paid media landscape can change what was already like such an overwhelmingly strong opinion in favor of somebody to now people are a little bit more ambivalent. Now she still won, barely. But just the fact that we were getting all that feedback on the trail and watching it happen in real time was so interesting. And I feel like that's the best thing that canvassing and direct outreach can do for a campaign is really gauge that sentiment and give you an idea of, well, are people, you know, on board? So I think that's what it should be used for by campaigns.
True.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing though is that like we don't just limit it at the phone banking and canvassing, because the good thing about at least like in my opinion, like our ideals or our goals is that we have the numbers. They may have a lot of money to spend on advertisements. They may have a lot of like resources in that regard, but we have a lot of people that are favorable to our opinions. And I think that like, as long as we can activate those people that share our values, our opinions, then we can be even more effective than their money. And I think we've even shown this in some regard, at least in the organizing that we've done within PV, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit of what PV is and what you are a part of it? Because that is not something that the viewers would necessarily know.
Oh, yeah. So Progressive Victory is a online community of volunteers that are pulled from creators, influencers that have large audiences that are politically involved. And we get this like large amount of people that, one, care about politics, and two, are willing to do something about it. And then we're able to mobilize those people for phone banking, for canvassing, for promoting ballot initiatives, gathering signatures, that kind of stuff. And in that way, the sky's the limit, because when you have these influencers that are online pulling bigger numbers than the likes of CNN or the likes of like Fox News at times, right? Then you have this like really valuable resource that as long as you just engage them in a way, you can be so effective. And I think that that's what we're trying to do at PV, is just utilizing those audiences to actually go out and be politically involved, be engaged, as we all are here, but to a large extent, because we have the numbers. We just need to get them. We just need to get them doing stuff.
Yeah. And another thing that really clicked for me as well, and was you kind of have a few things known within the Democratic Party. One is that young people are overwhelmingly like progressive, or at least voting for the DNC. They're voting against the GOP for many, many reasons. I think it was a plus 17 or plus 19, we recall, for the Gen Z vote.
Under 30?
For it was for people that I believe is 25.
If they're just taking 25. Under 25, I would believe that.
Yeah. But it was of people that were Gen Z voters, and I believe we're plus 16 on our voting. And
but they don't vote very much. I mean, they vote like that, but they don't vote very much.
So
yeah, we need to get them voting more.
Yeah. So yeah. We try to, you know, get people more voting and more engaged. But the other thing is like, well, what is there to really vote for as a young person? And this is something that we have talked about in other podcast episodes, where, again, the biggest things for us is we had the largest climate for you know, United States based. We had the largest climate change, climate crisis fighting bill in history passed. And we have student loans that are currently held up in the courts that might get passed, maybe to get $10,000 to $20,000 off, and also hopefully change interest rates. And that's about it. In terms of campaign promises, there was the talk of making, I believe it was, community college free to expand it. That was dropped pretty quickly.
A lot of things
were dropped, which granted, 50-50 Senate, very hard to pass things, especially True. With Manchin and Sinema.
Yeah.
So not necessarily faulting the president on that. But in terms of if you're a young person, well, there's not that many issues as a young person there outside for the carrots. The sticks, of course, being, hey, if you don't, then your trans friend are going to probably off themselves because they can't have access to life-saving medication and treatment.
We have a lot of things to vote against, but we also, I think locally, we have a lot of things to vote for. Yeah, when it comes to like the national elections, it's a lot less like fun, you know?
Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, you have to do your laundry, take out the trash, you have to vote, you know? You have to vote in the federal election. But I do think that there's a lot of good things that we are excited to vote on when it comes to like local stuff in your own communities and your states. And I think that's really the carrot in the sense of getting people involved initially, you know?
Yeah.
And cause like, yeah, like people will know like every 4 years I got to vote for the DNC, you know, whatever. But
getting
people engaged in the smaller stuff then gets them really interested in the stuff that really matters. Mm-hmm. Even up to the general.
I mean, if you as a young person are not terrified by the prospect of like the earth, you know, shattering into itself from climate change in your lifetime, I don't know what's going to get somebody like that to vote. I mean, these are very pressing challenges that, you know, anybody under a certain age is going to have to deal with in their lifetime.
Yeah, but I think people just don't think that they can be effective in that regard because of how broken our system is at the top. Whereas the stuff at the bottom, you can see that change a lot quicker and a lot like more directly. And then that is the throughput. Because, yeah, you can say that people aren't going to vote to like stop the world from exploding. But that's because they feel like even if they vote for it to stop exploding, they're still going to be the one person up top that's like, we're going to vote to make it explode.
Exactly. Like how complex, especially when it comes to like not just to mention our political system, but also the ways of how people try to navigate it or adhere to it. And not just people who would be like, well, if I'm voting for this and this comes with a few drawbacks, how am I going to be able to help? Especially, and it feels like a lot of hopelessness, but it's not best destroyer if we can find a way, not just with our generation, to initialize that and put it into more voting as we can. It's just more of us adhering and making sure we can ride that kind of wave and move on to pushing what we need, especially when it comes to climate change.
And what I was saying is that you have a lot of this, again, like either doomerism with having to, you know, face these issues, or again, not having that much. But the thing that kind of really solidified political activism for me was I was going to a Hobnob event where it was just, hey, meet with people that were locally running for, you know, different parts. And the specific area that I was, again, my county is very red county. And so there were a lot of Republicans, but there was also people that were there that were running for Congress. And I ended up having a pretty lengthy conversation with one of the people that was running for Congress. Again, did not win, but I was able to talk to him on policies he had never heard of. I again got a degree in finance and economics, and I was able to talk on economics with him because I was like, oh, you know, how are you on this progressive issue and this progressive issue for social issues? And he's like, I'm surprised you didn't ask me anything on economics. I'm like, well, you're not going to be driving us into a deficit that's going to, you know, destroy things and then blame it on someone else. Like, you know, that's enough for me. But then I was able to talk about, well, here's a VAT tax. Here's universal basic income. Here is like ways that you could reasonably solve poverty within the United States that he just not heard of. And that was me happening to be there and talking to him and him running. And again, he didn't win, but he did come in, I believe it was third place in my county. And then, you know, going expanding to places like PB, where they're starting to be a little bit more of a voice in some areas. And they are starting to talk with these other campaigns, these other people. And when you help get someone elected, they're going to listen to, hey, what do you want? Yeah. As well as, so you have both, hey, let's find someone that shows our values and try to get them elected. But also, hey, we're promoting the people who have these values. If you also want to get these votes,
you know, yeah, add them on. I mean, and we've got to talk to people that got elected that we helped elect, and it's been awesome. You know, I think we're able to ask Aaron Rouse about his anime opinions, which was kind of fun. But yeah, it's like that's something that's really important on the like smaller side. But then like you just build that momentum up. And then you get people really paying attention. You just have to start somewhere. The right is really good at the media attention sphere. They have all of their pundits, all their small YouTube channels that are funded, you know, that operate in that way. And as long as we're using the methods that are in front of us, we can be just as effective, or if not more.
True.
The right is really good at galvanizing in a way that they're really good at getting everybody to just come and show up at the same time, because who they have to talk to is so much more monolithic. You know, it's like when your audience is mostly just like a bunch of old people, a bunch of mostly white Christian people, it's just much easier to reach all of them. I feel like the coalition that the Democrats have to and the progressives have to talk to get anything done, we have to find like 17 groups of people. We have to go talk to the students, and we have to go talk to the LGBT, and we have to go talk to the, you know, African-American. We have to go talk to the immigrant. We have to go talk to, it's like, we have to go to all these different places just to get everybody on the same page. And they don't have to do that. So it makes it so much, their job so much easier, getting everybody to show up.
Yeah.
And it's,
and them having deep pockets also helps them.
Yeah, right. Well, right. But I mean, there's a lot of wealthy liberal money. They're, you know, liberal.
Yeah, but like they're not progressive.
I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. But there is a lot of money to be had on the Democratic side. There's no doubt about that. But
true.
I think it is just harder to get. And then, of course, it's younger people too. Like, especially with Democrats and progressive issues, it tends to be younger people who don't have as much time to talk about these things or vote. I mean, I don't really buy the thing about voting. I think everybody has time to vote, to be honest. But don't
make it harder for us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's still in most people's scenarios, like you have like weeks of early voting. It doesn't take very long. I think that when people make excuses about not voting, a lot of that is personal. But when it comes to talking to Democrats, you know, Democratic voters, it is harder to get their attention. They just have more. They're younger. They have more work to do, more things going on that are harder to reach, I think, and get everybody on the same page.
Right.
Well, I think we can try.
Yeah.
You are right. There is a lot of difficulty to try to like build these coalitions, but that's kind of like what we're good at in a way, right? Because like we recognize the intersectionality of all of our different demographics, right? The thing that unites us the most is, you know, like pretty much poverty, right? Is that younger people are, you know, less wealthy, you know, less, they don't have homes. They don't like, so I think there are a lot of things that connect us, but we just have to mobilize on those specific issues to bring us together. And then we can start like talking to us as like a large, like voting base, like the right does.
Yeah, they got the Democratic Party needs to get a lot better about that, no question.
I mean, I saw another thing just in terms of speaking and trying to fight that sort of messaging, where there was it was Gavin Newsom with Sean Hannity, and it was basically Sean was trying to go, it was like, oh, you know, Biden's been, you know, terrible on inflation, terrible on like it was terrible on the economy, inflation, and like some other issues. And then Gavin was like, whoa, okay, then let's go one by one. And then he's like, well, on this thing, he's done really good on this. He's on this thing, he's done really, really good on this. And so there was like a way to do it. But again, it's just kind of trying to fight that messaging. But that's not as much what I'm trying to go for in this episode in terms of like trying to fight that. More so just, again, trying to go and reach out and motivate and get more people. I know for me, and granted it's a little bit unfortunate due to voting against the things that I'm voting for, but like even me being more involved is something that then other people visibly see, and then they're more likely to get involved and they're more able to vote. I've gotten all my friends particularly to just be like, yeah, you know, just go and vote. And it's like, you know, texting conversations and just talking like, oh yeah, and then this thing's happening. And people are like, oh, that's like a big thing. Yeah, I will go and vote, and I will go and do things. And as long as people believe that there is some sort of impact, I feel like that's the.
I mean, like we have grassroots, like the grassroots is our strength, you know, like talking with people that are like us, you know, the same age, that kind of stuff. Like I'm going to a party tomorrow and I'm sure I'm going to talk about PV and the work I've been doing lately. And I hope that motivates people to be more active as well. Right. So I think that like just our job as people in this space, or people that want to be effective in this space, is to just be an example and then also help motivate people in so far as like the little actions that they can do, like phone banking for an hour, you know, like Staz, like one of our best phone bankers called, I'm assuming the number is close to thousands of people, yeah, you know, that you've called. And like, I would have never met Staz if I didn't join this org of people like me. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we can utilize to really be effective moving forward. I mean, like we haven't been so effective in the past, but I think we're getting more and more effective every year. Like the numbers keep showing that we're a force to be reckoned with. And I think that that's in our favor, at least a little bit.
Exactly. Not to mention when it came to like just going into the organization, learning how to like help with other people's campaigns, organizing other campaigns as well further, it has made it a lot more easier and a lot more better to meet new friends, new faces, new opportunities to help just with other progressive campaigns, other left-wing campaigns. It helps out and it does world loads of opening your horizon and opening up new ways you can perceive and galvanize not just the new group of people of your generation, but as well as the older people of your generation as well, to get them together on level with each other on a whole, and just not just help yourself, but their state and other states as well. I was luckily able to win a lot of elections during the midterms that I've helped with. And that really benefited, showing my eyes that, like, oh, this can make a really great change and help out for the better.
Then, on that note, to just bring us to closing thoughts, anything else that people want to say? Starting with Sam, do you want to go?
I don't want to just say, oh, get out and vote. I feel like we say that every time. I think we need people need to focus. I agree with what was said earlier about people need to focus a lot more on what is happening on your street, in your town, in your city council, in your county. That affects you the most. Everyone knows it. It's not as publicized as what happens at the state, at the federal level, but it is going to be what affects you the most and where you can get your foot in the door the most and get something done. You know, it's much easier. So focus on that and really, really find what's bothering you at that level and show up to that meeting and run for that position and get it. You don't even have to run for anything. Most towns have appointed councils. You can just apply. And I've applied for councils like that with my town, where it might be like the city charter amendment or the school board education advisory, whatever the thing is that is in your town, where it's usually just a bunch of old people meeting to give recommendations. But a lot of times those councils sometimes have a lot of sway. Apply for one of those things and it's not even full time. And if that's an amazing way to get something done.
I will say, to reiterate to anyone that is listening to a niche political podcast that we're probably at least to the point of voting. So I won't waste the breath on that. But again, just if you have to go on our speech, if you haven't vote, please do. If you have voted in the general, for just the every 4 years, look to the midterms. Vote in the midterms, look for special elections. If you're voting in the special elections and you're not sure what to do next, then that's when we get more spicy. And that's where we get to the more intricate ways, which you can go for city councilling. Is that too much? Then go and look to see if your local DNC exists, or look for places and spaces online to be able to meet and engage with other people. If that is still too much work and you're not quite to that point, simply do just making sure that your friends and family are involved and at least generally aware and seeing if you can put any energy over to them. Because we can definitely call and phone bank and canvas, but you as someone who knows them is going to be very, very important with getting them to vote. And if they are all voting, see if you can get them to then also talk to other people around them and just spread to your local area. Again, a lot of things, like even a school board election, can be done within a few hundred votes. Certain states going by a few thousand votes. And if you're in a state where it's particularly red, well, still vote. Because if you vote and you're able to make it just a little bit more purple, that motivates more people. If you're purple, well, yeah, try to make it blue, because your vote is going to really matter. And if you're blue, still vote, because you really don't want it to go purple and make other people think that they have a chance on that. So that is my final statements and thoughts.
You want to go, Stans? I'll go after.
I'd say make sure you vote. Make sure you always say, more so happen to help in not just your community with voting, going to PTA meetings, town hall meetings as well. Make sure your voice is heard, not just your presence. And as I could reiterate more so, it's CJ. It helps out a lot, especially to keep it blue. No matter what, make sure it's blue.
What I'll say is a little easier than all these things. All these things are great, and I think you should do all these things. But even just like we have time on our hands where we consume content, whether it's a TV show or a live stream, movie, that kind of stuff. Spend some time trying to find organizations in your area, activist groups, mutual aid groups, local candidates. Try to just find people talking about things that are relevant to you in your area. See what they're talking about. See how they're getting people involved. Maybe find a group to join and then start taking small actions. It could be as simple as just hearing, like watching a podcast like this, hearing about something happening in Ohio. And you're like, wow, there's a special election. Now I know to go vote on that. And I can go tell my friends tomorrow that, hey, I can go do this. And it all starts with seek out just a little bit about what's happening in your area. And that should be enough to just get you interested. And then once you're interested, the sky's the limit.
Okay. Well, that said, thank you everyone for watching. If you'd like to hit the big old like button, it does help quite a bit, is what I've been told. And until then, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for watching. If you want to support our mission to transform politics into service, please like this video, subscribe, follow us on social media, and consider joining our Patreon, where you'll get early access to our interviews as well as other exclusive content. Links are in the description. Peace out.